Well, I'm glad she said that about our mistakes and failures, whatever. But we're all growing, and I'm thankful that he would even ask me to sing with him. It's a joy and a privilege to me.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock.
Oh, let's go. Let's do what we're
I thought we were
to
going back we to
are,
the fourth
We are,
verse.
We are. My when, mistake! With our mistakes, don't forget.
When clothed with his brightness.
This one.
The third
with
one?
With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. When clothed in his brightness, transported I'll rise to meet him with saints in the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand and covers me there with his hand. Ooh, I still liked it.
All right, I want to turn this afternoon to the third chapter of Colossians. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection, or your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. And I want to speak for a little while on things above. As we read here in Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above. And you will notice he's not talking about stargazing or something of this nature, just looking haphazardly into the heavens, so to speak. Notice that he has a special place in mind of those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Once again, we find the focus is on Christ himself. He is sitting on the right hand of God. That is a result of the resurrection. Christ has been raised up, and now he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. As we noticed this morning, the benefits and the gifts of the Father. And so here we find again that Jesus is sitting, and again we emphasize the fact he's sitting there. He's not going anywhere. And so this is a place of solidarity, a place where he is going to be. So he's sitting on the right hand of God. The right hand is the right hand of power. And this is what Jesus has been raised up to, power over principalities and powers and all of these other, this other dominion and majesty that he has. So if you will notice, if you then be risen. Now this is a fact with God, but Paul is trying to get these people to step out. This is a fact. You have been raised up together with Christ. If you're born again, you have been raised up together with Christ. So Paul says, if that is true, then you need to take some action. You need to do something. And in this case, it is to seek those things. We spoke a little bit about practicality in the message this morning. Here's another evidence of it. God has indeed designed a practical gospel. And so here we saw this morning that we are to, if you're risen up, then walk ye in him, if Christ be in you. Here, if you are risen with Christ, and indeed I say again, it is a fact, if we are born again, we have been raised up together with Christ. If that be true, then seek those things. Paul says, if you really believe it, if you are taking your place here, then you need to be active in seeking those things which are above. And then what I want to emphasize and enlarge on this afternoon is that Paul is not just speaking generally, things above. I want to bring out some specifics of things that are above. We will see this in a couple of different places. But first of all, let us go to the first chapter of Ephesians. I want to point this out because I think people kind of skim over it and just don't realize what Paul is actually saying to the people here in this chapter. So in Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Again, we point out they were a very elite group. These were the Ephesian elders that he met with even as he was going to Rome. But he is writing to the church at Ephesus, a quality church, heavenly church, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace. We have seen that salutation a number of times. And of course, as we have seen before, it is the grace which gives way to the peace that God gives unto us. It is once again from God our Father, as we noted in the message this morning, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we heard about all the Spirit, the Father, and Jesus in the message this morning. And so in verse 3 we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. This is already a done deal. It is not waiting for the blessing. They are already there. They are already in place. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Here is where we get the above. This is in the heavens. This is above. This tells us of those things which are above. And as we've already had in Colossians, seek those things that are above. And of course, set your affection on them rather, as a contrast, rather than the things on the earth. I think sometimes people read over this, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Has anyone ever taken the time to find out what they are? What are these spiritual blessings? Paul actually enumerates them in this chapter if men take time to study them and to search them out. And so I want to notice, I think there are about 11 or 12 of these that we're going to point out in the message this afternoon. Spiritual blessings. They are those which apply to the spirit of man. Those which things which are eternal. Those things which are natural or simply temporal. But this is spiritual. And so that makes these eternal blessings that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. They are above. They are in heavenly places. And of course, they are in Christ. That is the source of all of our blessing. There is nothing without Him. Jesus said in another place, without me, you can do nothing. And we have all things in Christ. Here, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And so, again, I ask the question, what are these spiritual blessings? We are told right here in this chapter. They are enumerated if we just look at them. And so the first one is, verse 4, He has chosen us in Him. That is a spiritual blessing that God has given. We are chosen in Christ. He did not choose us on our own merit or our good looks or good sense or our brilliant mind or anything of that nature. We are chosen in Christ Jesus. We are chosen because we are in Christ Jesus. So number one, He has this spiritual blessing that we're talking about. We are chosen in Him. And that was really before the foundation of the world. That is because that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The provision was made long before God even created men as to what is this wonderful plan of redemption. I have said again and again, God was not at all surprised by the fall of Adam. He already had redemption in place before Adam was even created, let alone before he fell. And so here we find that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Number two, that we should be holy and without blame. There are those who do not actually believe that. There are those who are of the opinion you can't be perfect. Not according to God's word. God says He's chosen us in Him, and one of these spiritual blessings we're talking about, we are holy, and that holiness not by our conduct, that is holiness by our birth. We are born holy. Some people call saints. Anyone who is born again is a saint. You know what it means? Holy one. We are holy by birth. We are holy because of the new birth. And so this spiritual blessing that we should be holy and without blame. If that doesn't speak perfection, I don't know what does. There is no blame attached here to these who are taking such a place. We should be holy and without blame before Him. And of course, He's the one that counts. He's the evaluator here. It is before God, not before men. And that, once again, it's in love. Why? Because God is love. That's His very nature, the divine love of God. And then notice further, verse 5, the third one, having predestinated us unto the adoption. Now, the word adoption here is really kind of misleading. It would be better translated sonship. And that's what this spiritual blessing is. God didn't intend for us to be infants all of our lives. He chosen us for sonship. Sonship indicates maturity, growth. And this is what we have here. And this is, as we note here, this third spiritual blessing. We have come to a place of maturity in Christ. The adoption or the sonship. And again, it is by Jesus Christ to himself. And again, it is according to the good pleasure of his will. It's because of what God has willed, because what God has purposed, and indeed what God has provided for. Number four in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And this is what we are to be. God intends us to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. That is quite a varied sense of things that are provided in redemption. But the first one is mentioned right here in this verse. And keep in mind, we are still talking about, we're still enumerating spiritual blessings. Paul doesn't leave us in the dark as to what they are. He is listing them. And so it is to the praise of the glory of his grace. Continuing this verse, wherein, that is, in the grace of God. That's the only place it can happen. That's the only realm this can take place. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And oh my, what a statement that is, to be accepted in the beloved. The beloved, of course, is Christ himself. We are accepted in Christ, and it is God who has embraced us in Christ. This is the very same God of the universe, the God of all creation, the only one, as we've already found today. So he's made us accepted in the beloved. Notice further in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Now, redemption, as we have seen, is all-inclusive also. It tells us of the spirit, soul, and body, the complete deliverance, the complete salvation, the complete redemption of the entire man, in whom we have redemption. And once again, that is through his blood. Power in the blood. What a wonderful, wonderful song, and many references to the power of the blood in many places. So in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption. This is the sixth one, through his blood. Number 7, the forgiveness of sins. But this is only the first benefit of redemption. Doesn't include all of them. They are just the benefits. Redemption are just absolutely legion, as we would say. And so this is only the first part of redemption. And again, it is through his blood. That was number 7. And that is one of the spiritual blessings with which we have been blessed. And it is, as we find, according to the riches of his grace. This means that Paul is leaving the door wide open to go on from the forgiveness of sins to the riches of his grace. And it will take us a lifetime in order to even come anywhere close exhausting those riches of his grace. Number 8 in verse 8. Wherein he has abounded us, that is, in his grace, he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We've already seen Christ is made unto us wisdom. Well, here we read among these spiritual blessings, he has abounded. That it is just so plenteous here. There is no end to it, so to speak. We are in a realm where everything is just so fully provided. So wherein he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. Number 9 is in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And again, there are just so many of these mysteries. This particular one, mystery of his will, we've already had that in the messages on Sunday morning. But it is all according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Again, putting the responsibility and the priority upon God and his Christ. Verse 10 is number 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth, even in him. We discussed and we've seen this mystery, how that he's going to gather all Jew and Gentile to gather in one in Christ. There is still the heavenly treasure and there is the earthly treasure, but they are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is a part of those glorious spiritual blessings that we have here. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance in Christ Jesus. These again are spiritual blessings which God has bequeathed unto us. And so we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. It is still God who is making the decisions here. He is the one who is ordaining our lives and directing our path, as we have seen again and again and again, that we should be, once again, to the praise of his glory. It is not simply, there is great benefit for us. There is no doubt about that. But you will notice this, the overall purpose, we, that is these saints of God, wherein Christ abides and resides, and indeed he is to function through this mortal body, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We become those who are to the praise of the glory of God. And then as Paul says here, who first trusted in Christ. He's talking about the Gentile, or rather the Jew and those who have first trusted in Christ. As we know that the Jew rejected Christ for the most part, that nation, there were some that didn't. Paul is talking about all those who first trusted in Christ, in whom all you also trusted, that is, in you Gentiles, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed. Now here is another of those wonderful statements that tell us that people are not saved and filled at the same time. In whom after you believed. After you had believed, after you had accepted Christ as your Savior, then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This again refers to those spiritual blessings. They are listed here in this order, and we have seen 11 of them at this particular point. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 14. Those who have been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and know and enjoy his power in their lives, and I'm talking about the genuine infilling of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in new tongues. I can remember my own infilling and what a tremendous time that was many, many years ago, but I still remember it to this day. But notice what Paul says about that, which is the earnest. That's just a foretaste of our inheritance. As wonderful as it was, as wonderful as it is, it's just a foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, meaning the body. And again, it is under the praise of his glory. So these are spiritual blessings we have listed, and they are indeed those blessings which are from above, looking to those things and seeking those things which are above. I want to close with Philippians 4:8. We mentioned it earlier, as Paul said up here previously in Colossians 1:2, set your affection on things above. That word affection literally means set your mind on things above. And Philippians 4:8, really speaks to the mind. And this is something that we can do, not only something we can do, it's something we must do in setting our mind on things above. Philippians 4, and we'll begin with verse 8, finally, brethren. And this is Paul bringing forth a final message, as it were, and before he is taken out of this world. But this is his exhortation unto these Philippian believers. They too were tremendous overcomers. They were those who loved the Lord. They had surrendered to the way of the Lord. So you Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I want you to skip down to the very last phrase of verse 8. Think on these things. And these things that he's talking about are those things that are listed previously in this verse. And so let's notice them one by one. This is where our minds are to be set. Our affection, our mind is to be aimed, so to speak. And it is very important that we do that. I have said before that Satan can inject thoughts into our minds and in our hearts. He cannot read our mind, but he can inject thoughts. That's where we have to stop it. And one way to stop it is what we read right here, is to set your mind on things above, as we saw there in Colossians 3. And then Paul is very specific in what we can train our minds to do. And we can do it. We absolutely do have the power to do this, and we'll find out how we do this as we go on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. The greatest truth you're going to find is in God's Word. And so he's telling us to put our minds on the Word of God. This is why that it doesn't make any difference if you're in some turmoil with your mind and Satan just absolutely tormenting you. Just turn to the Word of God. I remember a time in my own life when Satan was absolutely tormenting me with the things that were going to happen to my son and things of this nature. And that's what God gave me. I began to memorize the book of John. And when Satan would come against me, I would just begin to go over it in my mind, just replay it again in my mind and recite the book of John from the first chapter. I memorized about the first 20 chapters of the book of John. It was not for anything to be seen or anything like that. It was for self-preservation, for heaven's sake. And so that is the way that I retained, saved my mind, so to speak. And I would just begin to quote verses from John, verse after verse after verse after verse, until I was finally able to go back to sleep again. And so finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, concentrate on God's Word. Whatsoever things are honest, there again, it tells us of conduct that is in light of God's Word. Those are the things that are honest. The Scripture will tell us exactly what is honest and what is not fake before God. Whatsoever things are just, there again, that which is just according to God's Word, just or justified. Whatsoever things are pure, of course you're going to find the purity of God's Word. There is nothing more pure than what God's Word is. Whatsoever things are lovely, this puts our minds upon Christ indeed and upon his bride. We hope to be a part of that company. Here it is, think on those things which are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Again, the report of God's Word. That is the report we're looking for. Not the reports of men, not the report, the so many negative reports that are in this world today. They are all over the place. But this is the good report out of God's Word, and it is a very positive and an eternal report that he has given us. I thought this next one was so very interesting. If there be any virtue, What is virtue? I had the exact meaning of virtue, but I'd rather give an instance where we see virtue. You remember the woman that was in the presence of Jesus? And she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. She did that. And when she did, among all of that throng, Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples looked at him so incredulous. Who touched you? Look at all these people around you. No. I felt virtue go out of me. And that is what we're talking about here. Virtue. That which stems from Jesus. That which is a part of Jesus. That power at this time, healing power for that woman, because she was healed immediately. And then Jesus called her out, and he said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so this is what we're talking about when we say, if there be any virtue. It's this characteristic of Christ, this power of Christ, this wonderful quality of Christ himself. If there be any virtue. And then if there be any praise. And the praise must be that which is directed toward Christ himself. All right. Out of all of these, think on these things. This is the way to control our minds. This is the way that we're going to bring our minds into subjection. This is the way that we set your mind or your affection on things above. And then one more point, verse 9. Think on these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. This is something that the church is really not willing to do today. Paul is telling us to put our concentration especially on Paul's gospel. I have talked to people and known people who say, I don't read anything in the scripture that says that which is read, Jesus' words. But you see, they rob themselves of the entire blessing of this church age that God gave to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is still setting himself up as the leader of the church age. He is the apostle to the church. God appointed him as such. And so he is exhorting us in our minds. Think on these things. Then he says, those things which you've learned, you've received, you've heard. And at that time, there were many who had seen them in action in Paul himself. Think on these things. That is the way to control your mind. And the God of peace, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, shall be with you. And so this is the victory that God is giving to us. Set your affection or your mind on these things in order to obtain victory. Shall we sing?